All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here as always with John and Chuck. Fellas, how's it going?
Yo.
Why don't we, Chuck, let's start with you.
Yeah, I'm always the last.
Yeah. What did you have for breakfast today, and how's your day going?
So my breakfast consisted of a Broster's gas station.
Was that a broaster?
Broaster.
What, is that like a frat bro? What do you mean, a broaster?
It's like a roaster.
Like a Kenny Rogers broaster?
Like a breast, yeah, like it. They do fried chicken in a gas station.
Is it a roast beef but with the breast of something?
You got to know when to broast
them. It's basically a franchisable food preparing thing for gas stations.
Okay.
Other, like, you can buy a building and do it, but you really want to sell, like...
So it's like a...
Sweet tarts, okay, and stuff, too. And, like, cigarettes.
I gotcha.
It's not what you build your
fortune
on, but it...
Did you get a free lotto ticket with it?
No, but what they had there was... they had corn dogs that were chili cheese flavored.
Breakfast flavored?
Today, I woke up a little late.
Okay.
And I had two chili cheese corn dogs from Broster's while I was filling up my car.
So you've been living your life right.
My life is terrible, and I feel like I'm dying inside.
I liked the catch in your throat there.
What?
Almost cried.
My life is
terrible. You actually went to great lengths to make it to this podcast today. We John and I were...
Salud.
We're briefly staring down the nightmare of having to choose between not posting a podcast or podcasting without Chuck. And it was hard to imagine what was going to be worse for us.
I don't roll solo. I do almost everything with Chuck.
Yeah.
So this couldn't happen.
We should do like a 1 minute long segment of Keith and John without Chuck.
Well, that's called the Grizzlies epilogue about half the time, and no one listens to it.
Except for Chris Harbin. Shout out.
Yeah.
Shout out, Harbin.
Met you at a bar.
So, a faithful listener, Chris Harbin. All right, John, how's your day?
I want you to go next.
Oh, you want me to go? All right.
Mine is so weird.
Okay, well, for my breakfast, I just had I had scrambled eggs, and I don't think they were to the exceptional quality that because Chuck talks a lot about
a little creme fraiche.
His scrambled egg technique. I have no technique other than heating up eggs till they look what I assume they should look like, and then adding salt and pepper
and a little sugar, maybe.
Yeah, no,
a little sweet too.
That seems too fancy.
Does it?
So that's what I had.
I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to say what I had for breakfast early Wednesday morning.
Instead. Okay.
I had something called gamma hydroxybutyric acid, because at work, I was drugged with GHB. And
you get a little Sebastian Janikowski, give you some of his spare GHB.
I, along with a few coworkers and about three women at the bar I was working at, we're drugged with GHB.
Was Bill Cosby at the bar?
I see. The last thing I remember is a sweater, a multicolored sweater.
Yours is more topical than mine.
A Gucci sweater.
A little more. Mine was an off the field incident from like 2002.
That's right.
Okay.
I liked yours. A little FSU alum.
A little Florida State alum.
Yeah, I remember that.
But I pretty much lost an entire night of my life, and only discovered through blood testing the next day that I was in fact drugged. I woke up the next day thinking, "Wow, I'm just a loser who drinks too much at work."
Right,
right.
But then it's a really dark story because my coworker who got drugged been in NA and AA for 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
And
that brought us down.
He's probably going to sue the place. I'm just now I just got a new experience.
Well, now I understand why he didn't respond to some texts.
That's right.
It's like, oh, now that's a
yeah.
And lost about 13 hours of my life.
But you also can't use that excuse again now.
I feel a lot like Robert Swift.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I mean, maybe that's... I kind of woke up squatting in a mansion.
Well, you're not the kind of guy that gets blackout drunk at work. You are the guy that gets lippy drunk at work. So this really, we're talking degrees here of what happened. But yeah, I get it. I'm sorry that you got drugged, dude. Did you get violated at all? Were any of your body parts sore the next morning?
Not any more so than usual. I know finding my car the next day was a nigh impossible, and I had to go through and track like my credit card receipts.
They made a movie about that. I don't know if you guys know yeah. that.
Yeah. Is there a tiger in Mike Tyson anywhere involved?
I'm just like S. Billy Scott now.
Did you have to solve a crime?
Ashton Kutcher.
Get your friend from a drug lord.
I think Ashton Kutcher helped him.
I'm making light of a rather dark situation, but
that's what we do.
That's how it's done around here.
How we do.
Yeah.
Sorry, Larry Sanders.
Yeah.
Man up. Bad things happen to bad people.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it wasn't breakfast, but we should also mention that this taping of the podcast is sponsored by Taco Bell's Sriracha Quesarito. Because of all of our breakfast talk and Chuck's insistence on eating fast food every week, I went to a Taco Bell for maybe the first time in 12, 15 years, and I ordered us all some Sriracha Quesaritos, brought them to the taping.
Yes.
John turned his down.
Thanks for eating mine, guys.
Handed it to me, and I was happy about it. It was fantastic.
So we might be a little extra giddy, and we might actually crash a little bit later.
I'm about this life. You don't have to worry about me.
Well, I might, having my first Taco Bell, since I was a child. All right, after our breakfast talk, we move on to our breakfast in bed apologies. This might be our first chance to actually talk about the NBA. In our breakfast in bed apologies, we apologize for things we might have gotten incorrect in previous episodes. I'll go ahead and go first. My apology is to the actor, Vincent Cassell, or Castle. I don't even know.
I think you got it right.
Might have been right the first time.
Vincent Cassell, who I talked about being in Ocean's 12 the last time. He also was in Ocean's 13.
And Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Yeah, that had a foreign title, I remember. Something about Loops or Lupus.
Yeah, it's got to be Lupus.
Yeah. Also in a movie I really like, Eastern Promises.
Perhaps David Cronenberg's worst, but featuring the finest performance of one Pero Antich.
I believe Pero Antich is, I believe he was discovered by actually being in Eastern Promises.
You probably see him full frontal in a bathhouse fight.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly.
Yeah, he's just an extra.
That could have.
Naked Macedonian extra.
That could have been Joseph Nurkic or perhaps Nan from Superman 2 who plays for the Minnesota Wild, but that's neither here nor there.
It is. You could do an entire Eastern Promises with just the Pekovic, Nurkic, Antich. But anyway, Vincent
there's
Cassell,
no better a conversation to have than who belongs in Eastern Promises more, Pekovic, Nurkic, or Pero Antich.
That is, we should maybe create a Twitter poll or something. Well, we'll never do that.
Nope.
No.
Does anyone else have an apology?
Okay. This is it. This is where I do it, guys.
Is it Cavs again?
It is. I'm so sorry to the Cleveland Cavaliers for doubting you and thinking that you would fall into a bottomless abyss of implosion and hatred of self and team. I, in fact, now think you're the favorites to win the championship, and anything short of that is a massive, abysmal failure.
We see what you're doing.
Yeah, I see what you're doing.
What? What are you
No, this
about?
Is...
What?
This is a thinly veiled ploy.
What?
You are trying to reverse jinx. This is the last desperate stand of a scorned Heat fan.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Jumping on board the Cavs, saying they're the favorites, saying they're the best.
I'm honestly.
This is not. If you try it, this apology would not be accepted.
They passed the eye test.
By most ladies in the world.
They passed the eye test. They look great. They're moving the ball. Their defensive efficiencies increased.
Here's what you should do.
Flash word.
Here's what you should do, Chuck.
P-E-R.
You should. Because the Heat are done. You should jump aboard the Caw train bandwagon.
Caw!
So then your heart can be broken fresh and anew.
Yeah.
When the Cavs, quote-unquote, upset. They'll be favorites on Vegas, I assume, if that is the conference finals matchup.
Miami's not done. I think there's some... Look, the boys got some fire going on over there. They want to make
the playoffs. That Kansas State reunion team is...
It is.
Trying...
Bill Walker had a big one.
Trying to...
Henry Hank, Big Bank yep. Hank.
Big Bank Hank.
William Henry Walker III.
That really cracked me
Esquire.
Up.
Esquire.
John, you got anything you feel a remorse?
Let me. This is almost an apology for 2 weeks ago. Let me apologize.
Oh, this could be the entire run of our episodes.
Let me apologize that we were going to say... I'm going to apologize for Aaron Brooks because we wrote him off last week
right.
after saying he was going to be great the week before.
Right.
And then he put up like 36 in a game this week and was basically a one-man juggernaut in overtime.
Yeah.
Dropping daggers.
A lot of shot attempts. I saw also that this wasn't this most recent game. Another time in his career, he had 30 shot attempts and scored 43 points. So
sorry to bring up Aaron Henry Brooks. Hill Walker, but, you know, shooter's going to shoot.
That's
Henry Hill. Henry.
That boy ain't right.
All right, so those were breakfast in bed apologies. All right, now, what's the best thing you saw this week? What's your steak and eggs best thing?
You want to go first? I can go first. It's easy.
Go.
Hassan Whiteside's flying elbow into the back of Kelly Olynyk's.
Hassan Whiteside losing his mind neck. Is your best thing?
I love it.
Cool. This foreshadows my worst thing.
I love it. I think it's wonderful.
So if you didn't see it, in regards to maybe not getting a foul call, Whiteside lost his brain and got himself ejected with a cheap shot. It was hilarious to watch.
It was great to watch. What bothers me about it isn't that he did it. I'm all right with that. What I have the problem with is it didn't happen for the right reason. Olynyk was being a kind of a dick the whole game to him and, you know, could have done it at a better point.
He also cheap shotted him from behind.
Yeah, which it was kind of weak.
It was one of the weakest type of confrontations because he smacked him seconds before he attacked him. Like, he knocked Olynyk's hand away, and Olynyk did not respond and looked at the ref like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then Olynyk went to get the rebound, and Whiteside's like, I'm going to get thrown out of this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is crazy. This gives...
It opens some eyes.
This gives people the illumination to why this guy was just floating out there, not on a team, and playing in Lebanon.
Definitely has impulse control issues. You saw it with Alex Lynn. You see it with, you know, early on when he was flexing with the dunks. Stuff like that, you'd want to see a bit.
Dwayne
more.
Wade called him out big time.
He put him in his place, and he's saying the right things. But at the end of the day, if Kelly Olynyk's doing that to you, what's going to happen when you're in the, you know, Timofey Mozgov is?
Man, it didn't do anything. Kelly Olynyk kept doing it to them, and they beat the Heat by 10 because of his outrageous behavior.
In the playoff race. That was an important game.
That's a bad move.
And they threw it away and got suspended.
Yeah.
Also, a little interesting, he's now been penalized $47,000. He has $47,000 in fines this year his $770,000 he's going to make.
He's doing bad things to himself.
It's
I think
5%
it's like
of his
7%
contract.
Ish. Yeah.
So here's the thing, right? I'm all right if they trade him now. I think
his trade value just plummeted.
Just plummeted, right?
So I'm at a loss for why this was your best of the week.
Oh well, I just
it was super fun.
Fun.
Why not? Absolutely.
That's why I watch the NBA?
I watched
for
the Vine
like that.
About 65
right.
times.
Right, it was beautiful.
My mouth was agape, agog,
agog,
agog.
My mouth was moping.
did you have a best thing?
For me, it's I swear I'm not just trying to piggyback and make it worse on Chuck, but Timofey Mozgov. When you look at the largest on off court net rating differential, I got this from John Schumann, by the way, an amazing follow on Twitter. Timofey Mozgov, sixth in the league, and everyone who's ahead of him is an MVP candidate. And then Timofey Mozgov, I thought for a second, and this reveals how asinine I can be at times. For a second, I thought it was J.R. Smith that was the big difference maker. It's Timofey, someone we left off our Eastern Promises All-Star team. But just amazing, like right up there with LeBron, Curry, Wall, Paul. I mean, and then you see some glue guys like Draymond Green and Nene, who I've always been a fan of. But when he tries.
Also playing a lot of minutes with LeBron.
Yes, but they're running that pick and roll with Mozgov and not Love now.
And he's jumping in on a team that's doing extremely well. I don't know.
He's a very important
piece. He's so good for them.
He was a very important piece.
Yeah, I didn't know if he was going to be as impactful as he's been.
Actually,
but he's,
I think you were one of the biggest supporters of that.
I thought he was going to be
a high price to pay, a hefty price to pay, but it might be one that yields championship dividends.
It's one of those, and again, it'll always go down. Remember that trade is like two first-rounders, but again, and you look in the totality, they got the two first-rounders given away, but they got J.R. Smith with that and Amon Shumpert and Mozgov.
Also on this list, I'd just like to point out some other fast break breakfast favorites like Kyle Korver and Chris Middleton.
So good. Future Grizzly Chris Middleton.
Maybe. I don't know. He's got a lot of length. Bucks love that length.
Yeah. Grizzly's never been that big into length or athleticism. My best thing goes to the NBA League Pass people. They changed the commercial screen on all the League Pass channels.
Oh, yes.
It is no longer just a... So earlier in the year, they did the amazing thing of getting rid of the music. They had like just filler music that went on the commercials. And if you're like me and you're watching three games at once almost all the time, that meant you always would just go to mute. Like whenever a thing went on commercial, I would actually mute it. Yeah. So then they got rid of that. But then they'd always put the scores up. And if you DVR games, or if you watch a game the next day and you want to maybe watch the fourth quarter or say all the previous night's games, you don't want to have to try to skip that placard or that just card with all the scores on it. Right. So now you can watch games peacefully as long as you don't pick the Sports South or Fox Sports feed with their 10% of the whole screen being devoted to a score ticker. But so now the NBA has just shows, you know, just random stats and points per game and things like that. But at least they've covered up the scores. I love it. That is my steak and eggs best thing of the week.
I think it's a significant improvement. And more importantly, something that will help me sleep at night a little bit better, knowing that I never have to see that screen ever again.
Yeah. All right. So with the opposite of that, now the opposite of the steak and eggs is the cream of wheat, worst of week. What's the worst thing you saw this week?
I'll go first because mine will take a while. The worst of the week goes to Matt Barnes, Big Baby Davis, Jordan Hamilton, Spencer Hawes, Dante Jones, Austin Rivers, Hedo Turkoglu, Ekpe Udoh, CJ Wilcox, and the newly acquired Nate Robinson, because you are the worst bench on a three superstar team I've seen in a long, long time. And if you look at the usage rating of the people who are getting played, Ubuntu is playing his son, mm-hmm. big minutes, and this is a team, as good as they've been, could be so much better. I'm just so disappointed in the team building that we're seeing here. This is a team that's winning even without Blake Griffin, but when Blake Griffin comes back, it's still just such a, I mean, there's no depth here. It's good that depth doesn't count as much in the playoffs, but if Chris Paul gets injured, they will be terrible.
Chris Paul is playing so well right now. He's
out of his mind.
He's up like 12 assists per game since Blake Griffin's been out.
He just shut down Russell Darkman Westbrook.
Yeah, they
33 against Oklahoma City.
I like that Darkman. That's a good name for Westbrook. Oh, the
Darkman.
I'm interested. Their floor space, even though their roster is so just head scratchingly in the fact that you don't know why they're on the roster in the first place. Not they're clearly bad when you look at them because you're like, oh, I don't expect anything from these people. When like Glenn Big Baby Davis does something awesome, which he's had some runs where he has some really good plays, you're like, oh, that's refreshingly new.
But then he'll totally like vaporize those good plays by having his like trademark worst flops ever.
Yeah.
Big Baby Davis.
Something about that guy. Maybe it's that hotel security cam footage.
Oh, it's incredible.
I just enjoy watching that guy.
He goes ham on
as a Grizzlies fan, as much as I dislike the Clippers, they have a lot of guys that I secretly like that other people dislike. I secretly like Matt Barnes, and even though a lot of people hate him in the NBA, like
well, he's an enforcer.
You know, the Grizzlies drafted him, traded for Wes Person.
Wes Person.
Little fact.
What if Chuck Person was the rifleman, what is Wesley Person? The pistol man?
I actually think I can't remember. I feel like he had something.
He had a sort of nickname like that. The shotgun rifleman. Man. The carbine man?
I can't say.
Sharpshooter?
I don't know. But here's if you're into, if you're a sportsman of any kind, if Jamal Crawford is not playing, you may bet, or if Jamal Crawford and J.J. Redick both aren't playing, you may bet against the Clippers as hard as you would like, because they can't score.
Yeah.
There's just no one else to do. There's not enough minutes to go around to put up the points. It's Chris Paul balling all by himself or nothing.
You got a worst thing, Chuck?
Yeah, my worst is Russell Westbrook. You've been, you've just been terribly doing horrible things to the league. 5 triple doubles in 6 games. You're the worst, dude. Quit murdering people. You're breaking hearts and losing games, but you're playing incredible basketball. And I guess, I don't know, like what?
You want it to end?
I just want him to stop being
some of tyranny.
That just physical fear that people have when he steps on the
that
court.
That dark man, though.
That dark man, Russell Westbrook. You're a bad dude. Stop being so bad.
He's been haunting
dude.
The league.
His face was changing. How hard is that?
That's hard.
Best actor, Russell Westbrook. Dark man.
Dark man.
My worst thing is a former running mate of Russell Westbrook. Reggie Jackson.
Oh, dear.
Reggie Jackson did a fun thing
We're going to hear from him later, I believe.
He did the Milwaukee's best walk of shame or whatever the award was, where he turned down the extension. So he turned down an extension, I can't remember, something like 4 year, $48 million, because he did the thing where he wanted to bet on his own talent. He wanted to go somewhere and spread his wings.
The KJ McDaniel maneuver.
He's the thief, the career thief in the movie who could just walk away with $48 million.
Right. One last job.
But then he's like, you know what? I think I can get $100 million. So he says, no. Trade me. Put me on a team with playing time. So he gets put to the Pistons. The Pistons take a flyer on him to see if he's good, to see if he fits in with what they're doing. It seems like he could slash. He could do, at the very least, you'd think maybe he'd be better than what Brandon Jennings was doing. He's been bad, quite bad. And specifically, I was going to point out the Lakers game. He didn't get enough shot attempts to qualify for an International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award.
Dadnabbit.
But it's only because there was some stiff competition for the iShop this week. But Reggie Jackson in that Pistons-Lakers game probably played one of the worst performances of the year. He was awful. 1 for 9, 5 turnovers, 2 points. And he pretty much lost the Pistons a game. In LA, and Spencer Dinwiddie was way the better option. Like every time they took Reggie Jackson out. So this is a guy going on a team where he has almost just free reign to let your talents be shown off. You have two awesome big men, just throw some alley-oops, just score the ball. And he's kind of flailing and failing, and it might cost him a bunch of money. So those are our cream of wheats. All right, now for our Waffle House Presents. Scattered, smothered, covered thoughts. What things are going on this week in the NBA? I'd tell you one thing that's been going on a lot, and like I feel like basketball Twitter and basketball bloggers are getting kind of worked up over, is the DeAndre Jordan for Defensive Player of the Year kind of buzz.
Yeah.
In the fact that basketball Twitter is freaking out because his defensive rating is terrible.
Mm-hmm. We can't let Doc Rivers win.
But he's But I mean, he's going to win. I think.
Bill, is he really?
I think Bill Simmons had a great point in his podcast with Zach Lowe, where he was talking about like Zach Lowe was like, "No way, DeAndre Jordan will win." And then and Bill Simmons was said something to the effect of, "Like I know he's like I know people like hardcore NBA bloggers feel that way, but regular voters for these awards,
yeah, like Peter Vesey's, you know, like, God, hey, look at all those rebounds that defense over there.
I mean, he is." If they gave an award for best defensive rebounder,
yeah,
he's amazing. You can't get the ball like
really good at chasing down a ball that's jumps, going out of bounds.
Like he jumps over all kinds of players like they're not even there. Yeah. Like
he's like Batroc the Leaper. He's very good at rebounding, but yeah. He does not protect the rim at all.
Yeah,
and if you want to point to the maybe rim protection being perhaps overrated these days, you could do so with a study of the Clippers, but. If you're talking about defense, he's not in your top five centers or even close defensively.
I agree. I mean, it's again, it's like him doing what he's doing right now is helping the Clippers immensely, but it is not specifically playing defense. Like
right.
Him being that pick and roll threat and him grabbing rebounds is a huge weapon for them. But yeah, we're not hopefully not going to see him win Defensive Player of the Year.
His hair looks silly too. He kind of looks like that lady from What's Happening, Shirley Hemphill. It's kind of like that weird afro.
Hey man, kinda like
I don't know. I just think that hair is ridiculous. I don't know what the people in LA are doing with their hair.
It's like dinosaur hair. It bothered Mike Conley did the same thing with his hair.
Like it when Mike Conley did it.
I think it's for aerodynamicism. Could that be the reason?
I like the weird semi faux hawk thing.
The Harden?
Yeah, the Harden look. I like that look. That's
Mike Conley did that as well.
Yeah, it makes me feel like I'm in the future.
Yeah.
That like, you know,
Janelle Monáe.
Yeah, kind of like
hanging out with
Demolition
you.
Man kind of thing.
What genre is this music? I can't tell because of your hair. God, yeah, but I know I can dance to it.
Yep.
All the NBA players are getting hairstyles that are like similar to rappers that white people like.
Yeah, and they're also it's kind of like this weird. I can't wait for the first Jerry Curl to come back in the NBA. I think it's only a matter of time. All these things are cyclical.
Who's going to do it?
Who do you think could do it?
I feel like
I don't know. I don't know. There's a, probably only a handful of guys right now that can pull it off. Definitely Nick Young, as it stands.
Oh, he's pretty
right
close.
Now.
I feel like he could do it. He could pull that off. I'd like to see a random like what if Marvin Williams just went for it?
Yeah.
Hey, I'll raise you one, Nikola Vucevic.
Oh,
why couldn't he pull off a Jerry curl? Oh,
We had the Gortat was rocking that the mohawk for so long, and he even like in interviews would talk about how like this is just ridiculous. I can't believe I spend the amount of time it takes to do this.
He looked like Road Warrior.
He says stuff like, "I had so much free time. I was like, I'm a girl.
I only work for 4 hours a day."
Right. So,
there's a lot of interesting hairstyle things going on. Has anybody noticed that like Gordon Hayward is sexy now?
Sexy Gordon Hayward.
Like, he was like a kid from Butler who seemed like a kid from BYU, if you know what I'm saying.
I'm
talking about virgins, man.
He's gone out to the fertile lands of Utah and blossomed into a man.
He must be.
There are a lot of beautiful women in Salt Lake City because the Mormons believe you have to marry a beautiful Mormon man.
And they're all hopped up on Mountain Dew. Wait a minute. No,
they can't. No caffeinated sodas.
In my world, as soon as you stop drinking alcohol, you have to start drinking Mountain Dew. But I guess, what in the hell? Can they drink coffee?
No caffeine, nothing. I don't think.
Holy shnikes.
They can't even drink 2% milk.
I didn't know that.
I just made that up.
If we have any Latter-day Saints followers, just hit us up and
hey, I love
let
the
us,
Book
let
of
us
Mormon.
Know
that
what's
a great,
going on.
Great show.
One thing we were talking about in previous weeks that actually for me has been a disappointment is I thought we were going to have an amazing, if not kind of ugly, six-team fight to the finish in the Eastern Conference for the final two playoff spots. But a couple teams have kind of thrown their hands up in the air and said, "Nah, we're good. We don't need to," like Brooklyn Nets and the Pistons have pretty much excused themselves from the conversation.
The Pistons have said, "Yo, home, smell you later."
I mean,
they are, my over under is cashed on that one. That is an under on the wins total this year, Pistons.
There was hope. After that weird, terrible start.
I think Stan Van was like, "You know what? Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Let's lose.
2 weeks ago, I don't think they did. I think they were like, I mean, I don't blame them for getting Reggie Jackson. It makes sense to see if he becomes like that attacking good scoring guard that everyone has pretty much.
Yeah.
And you know, they were in a playoff race, but with no guarantees of making the playoffs. But that thing, I feel like if they'd kept DJ Augustine, they would have been, they would still be in this playoff race. But
now they're relying on Spencer Dinwiddie, who is
the stash,
who is on my short list for new Indiana Pacers. Mm-hmm. That is what that racist owner,
Mr. Spencer Dinwiddie.
Mr. Spencer, we need Spencer, guys. He's on that team.
But yeah, so the Celtics are still hanging there. But again, 2 weeks ago, all these teams were within one game. There were six teams within one game in the standings. Now Detroit is way out. Brooklyn just, they've lost some tough games at the end, but they just fallen apart, lost five in a row. So they're out. So now, let's talk about Indiana.
Well, when Sergei Kirasev goes down, that's a huge blow. He's out for the year, guys.
Teletovic's out too, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's been out for a while.
The Eastern Promises All-Star team is falling, taking hits.
Yeah.
And also
taking shivs in a bathhouse.
Ghost of Sabonis.
Prokhorov apparently taking the Nets off the market.
Is he?
He was looking to make a quick $2 billion and then decided that the money wasn't out there.
When you say quick $2 billion, it makes me want to commit suicide.
No, well, and he was putting stupid things on the sale of the team. Like, he wanted to keep the arena. And
oh, he's not giving up the arena.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, he...
You may have the boys. A lot of it is, I don't... You may have my little boys, but you may not have house.
I think that...
That's the worst Russian accent I've ever heard.
A lot of the teams out there, yes, the demand is high and all these rich people are trying to get one of these few commodities of an NBA team. But the fact that team has no real path to winning for 4 or 5 years,
at least,
seems like that would definitely help hurt their their market value.
Who are you to deny Bohan Bogdanovic?
But the thing is, and these owners know when they buy these teams that they're doing it as a collector. You know, like a art collector would collect a Picasso or something similar. But into this billionaires club of, we own things that make us and give us status. Well, no one's going into that, those businesses saying, we have to turn a major profit every single year.
I think that's what Prokhorov did.
I think that makes the Nets a Surratt, because from afar, you're like, oh, team in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
This is pretty cool. This looks good. When you get close, you're like, it's just dots.
It's just dots.
It's just smears of paint.
It is.
This is terrible.
And
this isn't art.
The worst stadium.
This is bunk.
That arena is miserable to look at from the street. It's like rusty and gross.
I've heard they've had also their presentation is slightly lacking. I had a friend go to a game recently, and I had heard that, like, because they do like theater lighting where it's like brighter on the stage and it's dark and just everyone's asleep.
Yeah.
And you have the problem of being in Brooklyn where everyone's cool.
Yeah.
I was explaining to my friend how Memphis games are exciting because no one's cool in Memphis.
Right.
So everyone just cheers.
And the problem with the Nets in Brooklyn is no one in Brooklyn gives a shit about the teams that aren't the Knicks. And for a very long time, the Nets were a laughingstock and no one in New York even thought of them as a team to root for. So you're doubling down the pain when you have an inept run franchise that isn't going to be able to build fans locally because they're going to be bad for a long time. The only hope is that the Knicks stay worse longer than the Nets, and then they can steal their fans with a deep playoff run.
Haters like you guys are the reason that a wonderful mascot called the Brooklyn Knight got discontinued.
I don't know what you're talking
about. And I just want that to rest heavy on your souls.
I liked the Brooklyn Knight. I don't feel like I had any reason that went away.
It's attitudes like that.
Which attitude?
The presentation.
Well,
you were anti-Brooklyn Knight.
They're scrambling.
Then.
They were scrambling trying to grasp onto things. They were quick to pull the plug on the Brooklyn Knight.
Very quick. I say too quick.
Hey, do you guys remember that guy that got kicked out of the Knicks game with the
Legless Wonder?
We don't talk about him. Rest in peace.
R.I.P. Yeah. What was his name? Luigi or something.
I miss my Uncle Charles.
I don't know. Hey, what's the Indiana Pacers ceiling? They're winning lots of games.
They're one Spencer Dinwiddie away from complete domination.
If only
Paul George isn't coming back.
Who are you to deny George Hill?
Well, yeah. I mean, Rodney Stuckey's been killing it.
Yeah.
George Hill's been, the catalyst, apparently. I mean, right now, you have to think the Pacers are playing.
Oh, God, that's right. Stuckey's on the Pacers now.
Yeah, yeah. Stuckey's killing it for the Pacers.
He's been ruling.
Right now, it's like if you had to power rank, which we have never done on our show, but like you think they're probably the third or fourth best Eastern Conference team right now. Hawks, Cavs, and then I guess you'd argue, are the Bulls better? Like, the Pacers are playing so well right now.
I was so wrong about them.
The Bulls are a complicated squad.
The Bulls are complicated. It's hard to rank them. You don't know what you're ever going to get on any day and who's going to play.
Ye old Hollinger has the Pacers at 12th, and I believe as the fourth best Eastern Conference team. And that still has the, like, woeful, as of late, Raptors ahead of them.
Wow. Hollinger still has the Raptors up there.
They are plummeting, though. Although the Raptors have shown signs of life.
Lately. They have shown...
After the trash gate?
They've been playing halves, halves of games, you know? like they haven't been playing an entire game.
Well, since the All-Star break, they have the best record in the league, Indiana.
Yes.
Yeah. Toronto is dead last, so they're looking good. Frank Vogel apparently is
the Vogler, man.
Is a better coach than I thought he was. They've had
really?
I just thought he was a defensive coach.
You were really down on him, and I think I don't remember what the Vegas win total was, but it was really low.
It was.
And John and I were both kind of bullish on the over on that one.
Right.
Just because we kind of believed, one, the East was going to be weak, and two, that their offense was so bad last year that it wouldn't plummet that far.
Because it didn't even though have
they had
far
good,
to
even,
go.
Yeah, even though they had good players and they had Paul George, they were still bad at offense. We just didn't think they'd lose as many games as Vegas thought.
We didn't count on the wisdom of Solomon.
Of course.
Yeah.
Hill.
Chris Copeland coming out and looking like a skinny, sick predator.
The corner three pred.
I think that's where my problem in my forecast occurred. It was... Oh, they lose Paul George. They lose Lance Stephenson. That was like 40% of their offense last year. And what do they do to replace it? And apparently those guys, it is obviously a commentary on those guys' superstar ability that the Pacers are even decent without them on their team.
I will say Damon Rudej has a pretty far ways to go before he can be considered for any Eastern promises. That's a soft-looking dude.
No.
I mean, I'd be scared of him on the street because I'm a little...
His dad was like a politician or something.
Yeah, that man.
He's very Gigi.
I'm a fan of the no tattoo in the NBA. That guy needs some tattoos or something because he's not intimidating at all.
Just one face tattoo will go a long way.
That is true.
When Hibbert's out. We don't like to reference tonight's games, but since this doesn't come out till the next day, but when Hibbert is out, Pacers seem a little human again.
And another team that's fighting for that eighth spot, Charlotte. It looks like Al Jefferson might be hurt.
It's apparently not a long term thing, which is wishful thinking, I guess.
I mean, any amount of games is tough. The Hornets dropped a game to the Kings, in which I heard the Vine.
Oh yeah. Okay, I have a thing. I had an idea for a segment. We call it Keith Watches a Vine for the First Time. Keith, you mentioned that you hadn't seen the Vine of the lady getting hit.
Yeah,
in the
before
face.
The show, y'all were
before
talking
before the show. We were talking about
woman get hit right in the face with a basketball.
So I would like to do, and this even if this doesn't work, it's only going to be short. You just describe your emotional state when you see this happen. We have it queued up on John's computer. If you come,
okay.
And you can just look on.
All right, so you're showing me that I'm responding to I'm responding to the Vine. This is Keith responds to a Vine segment.
Okay.
And
okay,
play.
It's balls move. Oh, is her nose broken?
Her nose is broke.
That's a broken face.
Oh my goodness!
They've given her a
what ride. Is happening?
Her proboscis is perfect.
That is an osteoporosis is a problem with the
who is number nine older, for the
that's Gerald Henderson.
He changed his number.
Pulling no, he's just Gerald Henderson pulling his hands away. What is
Gerald?
They're Henderson. Looking at the video. That man kind of moves his hand.
Oh, wake up, white
husband,
people!
All right,
husband is definitely getting some.
So I hope everyone has seen the Vine. This is the Hornets Kings game, and this woman's face has been destroyed. I guess does that wrap up the?
It is the basketball version of the Fabio roller coaster incident.
Getting a bird in the face.
That is.
It was incredible.
All right. Well, thank you, Chuck. That was a good.
Thus concludes.
So what do we name? We got to name that.
Oh, this
segment.
Is Keith.
Keith. What do you, because you like sweets in the morning, don't you?
Well, like, I'm addicted to sweets.
You're addicted to sweets. So
the
like
red vines.
This is like Keith's morning red vine. Keith watches a vine for the first time, brought to you by Red Vine.
And diabetes. Now that we're finished with that resplendent 7 seconds of wonder.
Six.
Is it six?
It's only six.
Well, hell.
How could you get anything
that number six? Has no power. Seven has a lot of power.
It does.
Haven't you studied the Kabbalah?
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't talk about this. But, you know, Jefferson leaves, but Kemba Walker walks in.
That's one thing I'm curious as watching the Hornets play, and they've been playing well. Mo Williams has been awesome. I mean, as awesome as you get from Mo Williams. Like, he's been really good. He's been leading them to wins. He's been scoring a lot, distributing the ball. I'm curious how Kemba Walker coming back. If they do that weird, you add a good-ish player, and then it detracts from the overall team performance.
Well, I will say that losing to the Kings is not a good look. So step one failed.
George Karl's Kings have been all over the board. But
I don't understand them. I can't figure out what's happening.
Let's swap over to the Western Conference race 4-8. Mm-hmm. As of this taping, we tape on Thursdays and put it up on Friday. The Thunder lost.
Pellies are in.
And the Pellies have been playing very strong. They did a really good job when Anthony Davis was out of winning some games. And now Anthony Davis is back playing like, you know.
A 22-year, just turned 22-year-old maniac.
He's
so disgusting
the
how good
he is. The stats
he
puts up. When he does like a crossover pull-up, like 18-footers, and like, and you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wilt Chamberlain-esque PER, boys.
Yeah. Just imagine, right? There's a world where Kentucky still has Nerlens Noel and Anthony Davis is a senior.
Nerlens Noel.
And this team, you know what I mean? Could all be playing together.
Forget about it.
I know nothing about this current team.
They haven't lost a game. I believe college sports is a modern day slave trade. But
enough!
It's.
The madness is upon us.
You can fill out your sin brackets if you want.
You don't even do a bracket?
Oh, no.
You people it's are nihilists.
It's disgusting.
Oh,
it's
good disgusting. God. I have watched a Miami Hurricanes football game with you. You hypocrite.
Well, that's...
I've watched two documentaries
that's hometown.
About the
that's
Miami hometown. Hurricanes football team with you.
That's hometown.
Do you guys think the Pelicans
no.
can hold off the Thunder?
No, I do not.
Impossible.
I Durant is
Kevin Durant's coming back
right
in 1 or 2 weeks.
Yeah. What are
4 weeks to go?
What are the odds that the Mavs fall out and both of them make it?
They're so far away.
I almost apologize to the Mavs this week because they look kind of frisky.
You're one of John's favorite Twitter people, Harala Bob, said if any Vegas book, if people are trying to bet on the Mavs falling out, he said don't take anything less than 18-1.
Really?
It's gonna be hard.
Yeah.
Like to because right. Currently,
that's
they
five
are
game.
Five. Yeah, yeah, 4.5. They're 4.5 games up on New Orleans. There are 20 games left. I mean, because also, especially what happens with these playoff races is you run across these teams that have quit.
Yeah.
Like, suddenly, out of the blue, the Nets look like they have just quit.
Right.
And then you have the weird teams like, oh, the Jazz are like, they're going to win some games.
Yeah.
But then you just run into squads where you're like, the Lakers desperately need to lose, even though they seem to be playing to win.
They're officially out of playoff contention.
Carlisle's too good.
For the next 8 years.
Carlisle's too good. Rondo seems to have pulled his head out from his behind, his patoot, if you would. And, I mean, the ship seems to have been righted slightly. So I just don't think the Mavs are bad enough to slip to. I still think they're going to finish eighth because I think Oklahoma City can potentially catch up 6 games in 20 games because if you look at their schedule – it's much easier.
I just think we're gonna hit that thing that always happens where you come across the last 2 weeks of the season, and you get to like the teams start resting players. The really good teams who are locked in. The Warriors are going to be locked in. The Hawks are going to be locked in. These teams are going to be shutting it down. It becomes such a crapshoot of who's actually going to be even trying that a lot of times that becomes the difficulty when you're chasing a team like. As you know, because that's why I don't really think the Thunder will, even if they win, you know, 80% of their games,
yeah,
to still make up four and a half, five games is tough,
yeah,
because just wanting to win gets you victories by the time the end of the
At
year
the end of it, when
rolls
you have,
around,
yeah.
Man, actually, pulling up the schedules for the Mavs and the Thunder, they are basically both equally tough, so it's gonna be these playoff seedings with the Pelicans slipping out and the Thunder going into eighth. Might be kind of set.
It is interesting. One of the Pelicans. I don't know if he's a reporter or just a blogger, but he keeps tweeting out how like the Pelicans actually have the best division record in the Southwest Division, which is the toughest division. And they're like, it's sad. Like, it's like we're gonna miss the playoffs. We should get a playoff spot for having the best division record in this tough division.
Yeah.
And then the flip side of that, the ironic twist of that is the other seven teams in the playoffs all want the Pelicans. To be the eighth, you know,
right,
they're like, well,
right.
Yes, no, please. That's please. A great rule. Yes, you can now join the playoffs.
I wonder how many like weird, sly, lose to the Pelican tanking situations we can imagine going forward.
The Grizzlies play the Pelicans second to last game.
Right. So it could be very much.
It could like
we lose to let this team win.
It could if it's the Grizzlies staring down, you know, the Thunder or the Pelicans, you're going to see a lot of Jermichael Green, Russ Ridiculous minutes.
Right.
Dave Yeager is unafraid to go full pop and sit his players when they're playing on TNT, as evidenced in just a few hours.
That's right. It's exciting that it's sad that we don't get to talk about that because this is all happening.
That's the full pop, though. When you're like, hey, it's a national game. It's the Grizzlies on national TV.
I think it's...
Nobody's playing.
Nope.
Rest them all.
Yep. Wonderful. There's another
sorted out.
There's another little bit of information that I found to be interesting. Tim Duncan has his first NBA game without a made basket, breaking the most consecutive games with a made field goal at 1,310. Above Hakeem, who's at 1,075, so he's almost 200 something more. But he is 200 something more than Hakeem. So the facade that is Tim Duncan, the facade. I don't know. That's not facade. That's not the word I want to use.
Maybe you're looking for facade.
Yeah, facade.
Are you saying that
like the it's cracking? The mortar is showing wear. And
I believe you referred to
you can use a facade as far as a facade and the actual architecture.
Right. It's just crack. Like he's been a pristine automotive vehicle, and now he's just got a little.
The cracks are showing.
He's just got a little
like
bit of rust on the, underbody.
Them having two 4-game losing streaks right. this year for the first time.
Yeah. And it's sad. I just think it's sad that
that game he didn't score in, they won handily with Tony Parker making his triumphant return to statistical relevance. Anyways,
and they have they're winners of 6 straight. They're coming on. It's been against kind of soft competition.
In the words of DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, trash.
But they are the reigning champions.
Everyone fears them.
And nobody wants to play them in the playoffs. But at the end of it, I will be sad to see Tim Duncan not playing in the NBA in the next. I don't know. He's probably going to play for 14 more years. But that's very possible.
And you're right. That clean Dungeons and Dragon living.
Yeah.
speaking of is San Antonio Spurs. That takes us into this week's 2 weeks in a row.
Uh oh.
Game of Scones.
Oh,
trivia. And once again, I will put Chuck and John on the spot.
0-2 on the year.
To see what they know about NBA knowledge. This week's game is about the San Antonio Spurs championship seasons.
This isn't fair because Chuck's team always lost to them.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Always. They
have won 5 championships. In 2014, 2007, 2005, 2003, and 1999, back in the 1900s. They have started, on these 5 championship-winning teams, 15 players have started. So what we're going to be doing...
Oh, this is fun.
You're gonna name a San Antonio Spur who was a starter for any of those 5 championship... And I'm talking about in the finals. Started a finals game.
Oh, this
15 people have started a finals game on the years they won.
Okay.
So Chuck, as defending champion, will go first.
Okay.
The way we'll do this is we'll go back and forth, correct answers, and normally like 3 strikes and you lose.
Yeah.
So if you say someone who did not start a game.
You should have a small amount of time to answer as well.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Noah.
Okay.
So we should go quickly. So are you guys both ready?
Yes.
This is our game of scones.
This is all of their championship teams, correct?
This is all 5 championship teams, only 15 starters.
Yeah.
Only 15 people started.
That's amazing.
That is
amazing.
That is incredible.
You guys... Jordan's
teams had like 74,000.
Okay. So now let's start. Chuck.
Tim Duncan.
Tony P.
Tony Parker.
David Robinson.
Robert Horry.
That is not correct. That is 1 strike for John Burr.
Manu Ginobili.
Should have kept going easy.
Secretly only started 1 of those series.
I know. Yeah. I thought Manu Ginobili might have killed us all, actually.
All right. So John Burr has a... And I don't even know if I... Yeah, that strike really hurts because then you got another easy one.
Right.
All right. Yeah. So John, all right.
That was poor. That's poor... What's gamesmanship?
Gamesmanship, yeah.
That's bad game theory.
All right. We've got...
Danny Green,
yes. Last year.
Chuck has put on sunglasses. This is not good for me.
My Chris Moneymaker.
All right, we got
lizard eye.
We got 10 left.
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard, yes.
It's pronounced Cowie.
Cowie.
Cowie Leonard, part 7. Brent Berry.
That is incorrect. That is 2 strikes for John.
So I'm naming all of the 6 men.
That is 2 strikes for John.
Avery Johnson.
Avery Johnson, correct.
I can see.
It's too no, you got to go. You got to do it. All right. 1 started last
Chicago
year.
Chicago Splitter.
Splitter never started.
What?
I win again.
And Chuck wins again.
Another humiliating performance,
I
by the way.
That was humiliating.
Any
God.
All right. Yeah, so we're missing 1 guy from last year. Still on the team.
You know it, Chuck.
Parker Patty Mills. Patty Mills?
No. Boris Diaw.
Diaw started?
Yes, yep. He did.
Oh, that would have killed me.
We're missing... all right, the ones... The couple Mickey...
We could have done like Sean Elliott.
Correct.
Almost, I would have called him Sam Elliott.
I got to stop getting so weird in these games.
Sean Elliott's correct. All right, there's one who was kind of a 10-year...
Right.
Kind of...
Bruce Bowen.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, these are names. I just got to stop doing this stuff I'm doing.
Yeah, you try to be esoteric.
Yeah.
No, go with
all right,
no,
all right.
I know Bruce Bowen.
Fruit.
I really thought Manu Ginobili did not start any of those.
John, all right, let's build you up.
Okay.
All right. Also, this man is crazy.
Oh, another guy who's crazy.
They played him and they cut him. I mean, they played him.
Oh, Steven, Captain Jack.
Captain Jack is off. another of them, currently, I think the oldest player in the NBA. He's still playing.
Oh, dear.
Kurt Thomas. Antonio Mc...
On the Bulls.
Kevin Willis.
All right. Nazi Muhammad.
Nazi Muhammad.
Yeah. All right. And our
he is still playing.
And our the other ones are Mario Elie.
Mario Elie.
Michael Finley.
Ooh.
Oh,
and then I think the most difficult one. Although I literally forgot about Michael Finley.
Yeah.
Mr. Beef Jerky himself.
Wow.
Francisco Oberto.
Wow.
All right. So no,
that would have never, yeah. You know, that would have been.
So that was this week's
Chuck
Game
is officially
of Scones.
In
Chuck
my head.
Chuck is destroying John.
That's 3-0.
Every time we do this.
Good Lord. Well, I'm changing the strategy.
Okay.
It's not happening like this anymore. I'm going to go with the layups.
Okay.
All right.
It really makes no sense to try to pull those bad boys
out.
Yeah,
like the good ones first. Because you then leave me with easy ones.
Yeah. Yep. Really stupid. I'm a stupid person.
All right. Now let's get to this week's awards segment of this week's program.
Mario Elie. Damn it.
If this is just a random statistical aberration, or if this was some kind of effect of the long all-star layoff and then teams are scoring. I mean, as a gambler, John, are teams going under more? I feel like I've seen a lot of low scoring games and a lot of atrocious performances by teams, but I don't know if that's just random or if the numbers actually hold that up.
Almost always random.
Okay.
Depending on, there's no time of year where you'll see more overs or more under, except the very last few games, you'll
that
see
makes
a lot
sense.
Of insane overs.
I was curious if this year, being the first year where you had that 2-week break, if something there was a weird aberration. Because,
oh, well, there's just not enough sample size.
Exactly. There, yeah. So, okay. So, because...
And also, I suck at gambling, so...
there were an incredible number of poor shooting performances. Like, incredible. I mean, if you haven't figured it out, the basic formula that I like in a bad shooting performance... I like close to, you know, like 8-9 field goal attempts to qualify, and then I want to see under 20% shooting. Some weeks there's only like a handful of those to choose from. There was like 30 this week. This week, a 2-for-13 doesn't get you a sniff.
Keith gets so excited.
I get
when
so excited.
Play bad.
Yeah. the aforementioned Tim Duncan game, yeah. 0-for-8, not even close to being a nominee because there's an 0-for-9 Tim Hardaway. You know, not even a nominee.
Make sure you say junior because I feel bad.
Tim Hardaway Jr.
Yeah. God almighty.
Luke Mba Amute, 1-for-10.
I want DNA.
Honorable
testing.
Mention. Monte Ellis, 2-for-14. Honorable mention because he got 4 steals.
We begged Keith not to mention all of these and he's found a way.
We found
the honorable mention loophole.
We have done honorable mentions the entire season.
He talked to us today. He sent us a production text saying, hey, how many ISOP nominees are too many.
Nine?
Question
mark?
Yeah, that's way too many.
And I just sent back 5. 5 is too many.
Here are our 4
okay.
nominees.
We took 4. Perfect.
Trey Burke, multiple time nominee, who had been playing better for the surging Jazz. He did not play better in this game. Against the Knicks, 1-for-11. 5 points, 5 rebounds, 2 turnovers, 2 assists. 1-for-11. Brian Roberts.
Did not exactly fill Gordon Hayward's shoes in that game.
Brian Roberts. 0-for-10. 0 points.
Claude, have mercy.
1 rebound, 1 assist. Not to be outdone. Jason Richardson. 0-for-10. 0 points. 3 rebounds, 2 assists. We had 2 0-for-10, no points games this week. That's spectacular. And then Deron Williams. 2-for-16. 9 points, did have 9 assists, but 4 turnovers. So our nominees are Brian Roberts, Jason Richardson, both going 0-for-10 and not scoring. In my mind...
I'm going Bip Roberts.
In my mind...
Second baseman, Brian Roberts.
Brian Roberts. And then Deron Williams, 2-for-16. Trey Burke, 1-for-11. I go Trey Burke. He has been a worthy nominee all season. Has yet to win.
He's been sniffing the ISOP, which we haven't decided what the actual award is.
Yeah, we need to mail them something.
Yeah, we got
the winner.
Something.
What about a box full of packing peanuts with nothing within other than packing peanuts?
What about a pancake?
Yeah, we send an actual
pancake. You mail someone a pancake.
Yeah.
Lingonberry pancake?
Lingonberry.
He's got a cut off her toe.
The Chuck, you want to break this tie? We got Trey Burke, 1 for 11. Brian Roberts, over 10. Jason Richardson, over 10. Darren Williams, 2 for 16.
I don't want to break the tie because I think Darren Williams is the worst. He's bad.
Oh.
So we're at a three-way right now.
A three-way tie.
So we have to pick our three then whittle everything else down.
I always defer to Keith because
you can't pick the one you pick.
He is insane.
I will say Brian Roberts and Darren Williams have never been nominated before.
I think Darren Williams deserves to win.
That might be a tiebreaker.
I think tiebreaker should be previous nominations.
Oh, okay.
So Trey Burke.
Okay, Trey Burke works.
That's what happens when Trey Burke becomes your second option.
If you've been here before.
He'd really been playing better, even though it was an atrocious shooting season for him.
It was such a brief streak of playing better, though. It was like five games.
When I say playing better, I mean I saw good shooting.
Yes.
All right. Now for our par fadeaway. Anything else we're looking forward to this week?
The return of sundry superstars. It may not happen this week. It may happen in 2 weeks, but teams are starting to have to consider whether they're going to let players come back, or in players like LeBron's case, do we start resting players? So there's a lot of rumbling about stuff like that. Because Blake Griffin could be back this week, Kevin Durant could be back this week or the next, and then LeBron James is clamoring for more rest. So it's going to be very interesting. There's going to be a lot of gamesmanship with regard to the standings.
I'm interested in the most improved player award, obviously, from a Whiteside-ian perspective.
I don't think
he's going to now because he's
Chris Middleton is making a late surge. Future Grizzly Chris Middleton making a late surge into the most improved player. Well,
former Grizzly Hassan Whiteside has looked, cause, I mean, I guess if you take players that weren't in the league,
I feel like his two ejections in that 20 games saying. Might it's work
not,
against him.
It's not going to get him any love from the writers who are all tight asses, but
they really are. I got a personal thing I'm looking forward to. I'm actually going to a Grizzlies game for the first time all season. Going to Memphis on Saturday.
Woo!
To watch the
grit grind.
The depressing wheels falling off slightly Memphis Grizzlies. I'm just kidding. But if you want to stick around, Grizzlies fans, we will have a scorched earth Grizzlies epilogue after we wrap up, which we've pretty much done. Gentlemen, any final words of wisdom?
I figured
not.
Not a single one.
All right. So thanks for listening, everybody. Check us out on Twitter at Fast Break Break. And rate us on iTunes. Give us a review. Helps us out. And thank you for listening.
And watch your beverages.
Yeah. Remember, breakfast is the most important thing. GHB will knock a man out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue. Grizzlies going through a slightly tough stretch since the All-Star break. They have not looked very sharp at all. They seem to be sleepwalking a lot of the time. A lot of it is they're an old veteran team that part of it, they're banged up, and I think they get bored with things that are going on.
In the past week also, we played a lot of teams that we don't really match up that well with.
The schedule's been tough.
Maybe not to everyone, but Boston and the Pelicans usually play us pretty well.
Yeah, the Pelicans almost always beat the Grizzlies. The Pelicans have been winning. They've been playing really great. The thing about that game was it was the second night of a back-to-back. The Grizzlies actually were killing them and then fell apart. There are some legit issues with that I think every Grizzlies writer seems to be talking about now is the starting lineup is just being a net negative. I think it's got some national press. I think Sports Illustrated did a thing on it today. And I think we've been talking about that, how it's one of those things where Jeff Green, the Grizzlies were doing so well when Conley and Gasol were being the most aggressive. And when you add another shooter into that three spot and you have multiple guys who are just shooters on the court, it makes them less effective.
Too many shots for DJ Jazzy Jeff in the game plan.
I don't think Jeff Green, he's not bothering me with how he's playing. I just feel like the lineups aren't optimal. And some of it is Jaeger is mixing around lineups from the second unit and just trying to find the right thing and mixing that with trying to protect some people and to rest some people. I want to mention, so the Lakers game at home was just a big, you know, what, like they were just goofing around kind of.
Probably should have lost that game.
Very easily could have lost that game.
Another terrible Mike Conley defensive performance.
Yeah, he was abysmal.
Jordan Clarkson putting 25 on you is not a good day.
Right. And then the Pelicans game was the day after that that we talked about. Where again, it's not a bad loss. Losing to the Pelicans in New Orleans is not a bad loss. But it was just disappointing the way it came about, where they blew it at the very end and blew the big lead. So then they go up to Chicago and play a pretty tired Chicago team, and that was a pretty good looking win. That was a game where they're trying to integrate Vince Carter back into the lineups, and which is really, he's been awful. I mean, unequivocally awful the whole season.
Pondexter level.
Yes. So one of the arguments is that there's no reason to try to win every game in March. We don't need to peak now. And they're putting Vince Carter in because, I don't know if you agree with this, and Chuck, you can pitch in here too. Does Vince Carter need to be effective for the Grizzlies to win a title?
Yes. You need production. The kind of production that he's capable of providing if he plays at the level he played
in the shooting
last year. Yeah.
Can I counter that with, doesn't he just need to stand in the corners and hit threes?
That's, yeah.
Does he need to play all the time now to do that? Like, we've stuck Mike Miller in.
I think he needs, he, my friend, is no Mike Miller
in this
circumstance. Mike Miller, you can just dust off. And yes, right. He can stand in the corner and hit some threes and labor up and down the court. Vince Carter is laboring up and down the court and doing weird things and being horrible at defense.
Right.
So in this Bulls game, I do think I'm conflicted right now as a Grizzlies fan / trying to analyze the basketball I'm seeing. Is, do they need to get Vince Carter right? Is he necessary? Because the Calathes, while he can't shoot, he's been incredible. He's been by far the best net rating on the Grizzlies since the All-Star break. And I felt like maybe him just at the backup two guard and playing some backup point might be better overall than Vince Carter. But I don't know. This is where I can't make up my mind. Because I don't...
Nick Calathes is a better basketball player than Vince Carter at this point in their careers. And I think that's really all that needs to be said.
But I think the coaching staff, the Grizzlies coaching staff, has decided that getting that shooting, just getting the floor spacing shooting from Vince Carter might be more important. Or at least that's something I think they're wrestling with right now. Because in the Bulls game, the starters actually played great that game. And then in the second half, Vince Carter had made some shots in the first half. And so they actually played him in the second half. And they gave him all of Nick Calathes' minutes. And that second unit blew like a 15-point, 16-point lead.
That game, the final score, even though it was 10 points, was a lot closer.
Right. The starters came back in and had a fantastic fourth quarter. And actually, that was the lineup, I believe, where it's Tony Allen, Jeff Green, and then the Randolph, Gasol, and Conley.
Tony Allen and Mike Conley's toughness have been the two bright spots this week.
Tony Allen is something like 19 of his last 24 shots. I don't know if that's...
And flying around, stealing.
He
and Calathes are stealing every pass.
The Wednesday night game, which again was the loss to the Celtics, it was pretty much close the whole game. And again, the Celtics have been playing really well at home, but the Grizzlies did not play well. But Tony Allen, in the fourth quarter, was unbelievable. Offensive rebounds, getting assists, driving to the bucket and scoring. And then this was like mind-numbing, game-losing idiocy. They I was mumbling at my TV. I was Milton from Office Space talking about my stapler. I was so apoplectic that they took Tony Allen out for Courtney Lee on the last, like, they'd hung around this game all because of Tony Allen. He'd done everything on the offensive end, gotten every pretty much bucket like he created with an offensive rebound or a back cut or any like just driving. So then like the Celtics tie up the game. There's like a timeout, and then the Grizzlies have an offensive possession. And then I see them coming out without Tony Allen with the Jeff Green, Courtney Lee, and this, and I was just mouth agape looking. That might be a lot of agapes this episode.
Agape.
Mouth agape. That's my favorite
mouth
kind.
Mouth is wild.
But just not understanding how they could possibly think they're better without Tony on the court. It's as if, and this has been a problem for, this is a pre-Jaeger problem. It's as if they think the Grizzlies' strength is never going to be running a great play and getting a wide open look. They're not good at wide open looks in relation to the rest of the NBA. The Grizzlies' best thing is running a play, then having hell break loose and ending up with the ball and getting a layup. Like, that is the grit grind thing.
That's how it's done.
That's how it's done. And that is what's like a final. I would much rather have a possession we need to win. Like, the odds of us getting an offensive rebound to me are just as good as us hitting 16 footer.
Executing.
Especially Courtney Lee, right, who has, I know throughout last year, I got really into this, very bad shooting percentage in the fourth quarter. That was just last year. He's actually turned it around this year. He's been good, but he has been visibly struggling recently. It just kills me seeing the guy who brings you back, who is one of the core players of the team that gives the Grizzlies their identity and the chemistry he has. So you guys are watching me. I'm just preaching. The chemistry he has with the big guys, like, wow, he always sets up Zach Randolph, gets him such easy shots. He's always looking for the things. It kills me that he's not in at the end of these games.
Yeah. Speak on, Deacon.
So again, I don't know if part of it is that Jaeger wants to force feed to get things right with this lineup. Because again, the goal is not winning games in March. Right. Like, this Celtics game is not that big of a deal. The Wizards game, where they're going to rest all four players that we're going to see when we stop recording, and you guys will know the results of them. We won't right now. It's
going to be a loss.
It's curious. It's interesting to see if they're trying things now, or if there is a problem. And that, I don't know if there's an actual problem or if they're just deciding they really want to work on these certain things.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's difficult as a Grizzlies fan, because you want to win the games and you're competitive when you're watching them, and then you see stuff. You're like, why are they doing this? Why aren't they just playing these guys that seem to be the best? Like you're working in Vince Carter with Nick Kolaitis. Like, Nick Kolaitis and Tony Allen have been the only guys who've been really good consistently since the All-Star break. And then to see like minutes cut and them not go in, you're just like, oh, what's going on?
Okay. Oh, I hope they do well. I don't think
very sweet, Chuck,
there's a lot of, from my, I'm not in the forest with you guys.
Right.
I don't miss it for the trees.
The trenches.
From my perspective, they're a great regular season team that may have trouble with the higher flying athletic teams in the West come playoff time. Only because the wing athleticism, while they can grind it out, and
that's interesting, because I'm trying to
bring on the athletic teams.
Yeah, so
what I say with the Grizzlies,
I think I agree more.
The Spurs are the teams that are athletic, that are more cerebral. Those are the teams we struggle with.
I was going to say that I'm trying to enjoy. I don't want this season to pass me by and me feel like negatively over the last, because this has been
it's been a great season.
Best season for the Grizzlies. And coming into the year, my thought was this team is going to struggle during the regular season because they are old and because the bench kind of sucks. Yeah. Like they're only about seven deep.
Yeah, the bench straight up sucks.
Yeah, well,
you've got a better bench now. Pondexter's not there.
Right. But coming into the season, I thought they would be a 4 or 5 seed. They'd have an okay year where they would struggle, but then their strength is the playoffs when the games are spaced out and the possessions, there's fewer possessions and it's slower. And so this year it's actually been, the Grizzlies started off so well, where then now you're like spoiled. So I still think the Grizzlies' strength is the playoffs when the games get slow.
That's what it's built for.
Refs don't call things.
Although we are moving so slowly right now, like the first quarter, like how many 16, 18 point first quarters are we going to have to endure lately? Mm-hmm. It's just difficult to
keep enduring them. So, it'll be curious to see if they do make any permanent changes, or if we see the lineup lock in, or if, because of resting players and Mike Conley's ankles hurt, if it never locks in and we enter the playoffs,
we have not talked enough about Mike Conley's ankle seemingly blowing out in that last game.
It looked terrible. It looked terrible. It looked like the game was, it looked like the season was kind of like, oh, that's it. Like our ceiling, like we can't win anymore. You can't win the title anymore.
It really looked poor. I would be into considering our opponents that are coming up. I would be very into an extensive rest for Conley. I mean, we've got Wizards, Bucks, Nugs, Pistons. How about we just shut them down for all four of those games?
Right.
I mean, then we have a tough streak, but then
Kolaitis go head to head with Reggie Jackson and Spencer Dinwiddie.
if you're really all about the playoffs, and we know that's what they're about, there's no reason for Conley to be playing right now unless you really are obsessed with getting the Mavs in the first round. And the Mavs, they look you know, kind of ready to go again.
I will say, and
going down to three might not be that bad.
Another thing that looks, I think another thing that makes this little hiccup a little frustrating is I think Grizzly fans have started eyeing the seedings, and it looks like there's this outside chance of the miracle seeding where the Grizzlies are the 2 seed and the Spurs have climbed all the way to the 5 spot. And it's like Spurs at 5, Thunder at 8, Warriors at 1. So you wouldn't play the Thunder, Warrior. You'd only play one of those teams, you know, theoretically.
As beautiful as that is to think about, that is like beyond glasses at full territory. And
I know.
Fall on to like,
I feel like things look that rosy, where then you're like, oh, now you're kind of disappointed. Like, oh, now we're going to fall to the 3. And you lose perspective that, like, it's the playoffs. You got to beat the best teams.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, I do
like Memphis's, the way they play, it reminds me of those late 90s Heat teams with Zoe and Tim Hardaway. And now obviously, Gasol and Zoe are different players, and Hardaway and Conley are different players. But that kind of, you know, hard-nosed, in-your-face kind of back.
It's a super Pat Riley team.
It is. It's built in that sort of mold of just break you down when the playoffs come and scrape every possession you can. And
the only difference, really, is the Tony Allens of the team. And really, Courtney Lee can be that guy, too, is this, as Keith alluded to earlier, or outright stated, there's like this crazy Jerry Lawler, Sputnik Monroe madness that we can break out in. And that's really where we get these brawls.
The scrum.
I feel like the scrum is a go-to thing. Yeah. And I feel like when you play the lineup with the Jeff Green and Courtney Lee, you're just working towards a jump shot.
Yeah.
And you're hoping Z-Bo gets a rebound, but they're much better having the scrum, the Tony Allen.
Right.
I like watching the Calathis, Tony Allen, and whoever else.
That's interesting that you bring that up. Really, we should just never see Courtney Lee and Jeff Green together. You should always have an alternation between
maybe on the second
Tony
unit.
Allen, Tony Allen, right. And Courtney Lee, Tony Allen, Jeff Green. Because Jeff Green and Courtney Lee are very athletic players. But to get like the full breakneck, we have an advantage over you stuff. You need Tony with them.
Or if those guys are on the court, I don't want to see Z-Bo. Because then I don't know. It's weird that I feel like the combination is very strange and it isn't working so much. But again, you know, it's hard to time will tell.
Pull your head out of your ass, Jaeger. Come on.
I can't believe you benched Tony Allen for those plays.
Come on.
Also, the benching all 4 guys on one night seems strange. It seems like that was a day of decision.
Oh, to Popovich, like, nonsense.
It is Popovichian, and that I like, but it seems like if they'd known they were going to...
We're on TNT tonight. Give me those players.
It seems like if they were going to rest all 4 guys, in my mind, that means they were planning, they wanted to go all out and win the Celtics game and then rest guys.
I'm bitter. I moved rehearsal back to 9 just to watch this game, and now there's almost no point.
It seems like if they're going to rest those guys, they would have split it up over the 2 games.
Absolutely.
Because then you give yourself maybe a better chance to win both of them, and then it seems like, so it doesn't seem like they even had a plan going into it. They're going to rest guys. Obviously, Conley got hurt.
Yeah.
But it seems like if they're going to rest guys, they would have split it up anyway. So this is not the nadir of the Grizzly season.
Certainly not.
We're nitpicking now.
You're in the doldrums of a very, very long year where, you know, sample sizes in the middle of this make you think that things are worse than they actually are. At the end of the day, Memphis is as talented as anybody else. Every team has their flaws. Every team has their issues or can be beat. And it all depends where the ball falls. But what you have mentioned with it, it makes sense that I think that playoff kind of basketball of the chaos, being able to deal with that
right.
And kind of thrive in it, it plays best come playoff time. So I'm interested to see where those guys go.
Got to have a healthy Conley, though.
Got to have a healthy Conley. Agreed. All right. Thanks for listening to
Jesus, Tom Cruise gods, Allah, all of you. Satan's, Xenu, please give us back a healthy Mike Conley that plays defense.
All we want is health. All right, thanks for listening. Go Grizz.